Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and ascending Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is the passage that was the theme of our VBS this week, John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So far the word of the Lord. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. The theme of our VBS this week, as you heard the little kids talking about, was miraculous mission, Jesus saves the world. And so we talked about how Jesus took on this mission to come down to earth to save us. Meanwhile, however, almost every morning when I turned the news on, they were talking about another mission, one that certainly seems very miraculous, which happened 50 years ago to the day, yesterday, the Apollo 11 mission that put men on the moon. Those of you who are 53, 55, and older, probably remember watching and probably remember the amazement, the wonder that you were actually able to do that. It probably means a lot more to you. Those of us born a little later, it is a part of our history. It happened before we were born. We don't really probably think of it as that miraculous. Probably don't really appreciate how difficult it was. Unfortunately, all of us have a tendency to have that same attitude, the attitude of the younger generation, towards the miraculous mission that Jesus did for us. We grow up knowing that Jesus came down to die and to save us, and we have a tendency to take it for granted and not really appreciate what it is that God did for us. Even the verse that we have before us, it's such an amazing verse, so beautiful, so wonderful. We use it all the time, and we have a tendency then to take it for granted. We could easily use the analogy of typical marriage. Two people fall in love, and it's wonderful, it's amazing, they're so happy to have somebody, they're so happy not to be alone anymore, that they don't really care that much that maybe he's a little bit of a slob and maybe she's a little bit bossy. Those are minor matters. But then they get accustomed, they grow complacent, they start taking each other for granted. They forget what it was like to be alone. And they have a tendency to start sweating the little things, start complaining about the things that didn't matter anymore, didn't matter before, because they've forgotten to appreciate what they have. Very often, this is exactly how we treat God and his word. Having grown up with the knowledge that Jesus came to save us, we have a tendency to take that for granted and complain that we don't have more. One of the things that they talked about a few times in the news reports this week, as they were talking about that mission to the moon, one of the things that some of the news people even showed on the TV was some of the moon rocks that the astronauts brought back with them. Now, these moon rocks are incredibly valuable. One piece that was only 200 milligrams, which is 0.0004 pounds, a tiny fragment, recently sold for $500,000. But if you or I were to see one, we would probably have the same kind of attitude, like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's from the moon. Move on. Those scientists, those geologists, however, who are able to look closely at these rocks, are able to examine them at a deeper level, really dig into them, find a wealth of information that is very valuable to them. And so us too, we might look at our verse, our sermon verse this day and say, oh yeah, that's cool, I know that. But if we can learn how to dig deeply into it, we're going to find a wealth of information that is going to make it far more valuable to us. Actually, we could easily spend a whole hour talking about each word of this verse. I won't do that, because I don't have that much time. And I know you guys would probably leave if we were here for 7 hours. But we'll focus on three. We'll keep it to a few minutes. And let us pray that through the study of this verse and digging into these words, God would open our hearts and minds so that we really and truly appreciate the miraculous mission that Jesus accomplished for us. The first word of our verse is the word God. And we could use many, many words to describe who God is. And in fact, I brought for you today Francis Pieper's Christian Dogmatics, which is the standard dogmatics book in college at ILC. And here you see the section just talking about the nature of God. So he did indeed use many words. 100 pages, pretty much a whole page black, filled with words describing who God is. We could use words like omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent, which describe God's knowledge, power, and size. We could use words like homoousius and genus majesticum, which describe the relation of God as he became man, how Jesus is both God and man. We could use words like misericordia, which you may have noticed on the front of your bulletin during the Easter season. But even after we discuss all these words, even if we were to take the time to go through all 100 pages that Francis Pieper wrote on the nature of God, so that's something like 20, 25 sermons, even after all that time, we would still know only a fraction, only a tiny bit of who God is. God, however, has a better way. Instead of using words like homoousius and genus majesticum, instead of trying to describe himself with many words, he simply tells us all the things that he has done, especially those things that he has done for us, so that we get to learn who he is primarily through his relationship to us. And so the first two Bible stories that the children learned this week were Bible stories that taught us who this God is, beginning with the creation, which shows us his great power, and then secondly, the story of Abraham, and how God is one who always keeps his promise. And these two things, these two facts are so fundamental to the nature of God and who he is to us, that the two main names that God chooses to use for himself encapsulate these two truths. God, meaning the Almighty, the Creator, and Jehovah, or Yahweh, which we often read as Lord. It's often translated as Lord in the Bible, which could easily be translated as the one who keeps his promise. So we began VBS with the miraculous knowledge that this same God who created the vast heavens around us is one who nevertheless hears our prayers, cares about us, and keeps all his promises for us. This God, John continues to say in our text, so loved the world. And notice that John stresses the word so. In the Greek, it's very obvious that he stresses the word so. He so loved the world. Very often we skip that word so. We go right from God to love. But that word so is very important. Because that word so reminds us that God, he didn't just say he loved us. He didn't just love us like he had a feeling of love towards us, but he put his money where his mouth was. He so loved us that he did. That word so means that he showed his love. That he did something difficult. He gave up the thing that was most precious to him. It's easy to say, I love you. And we probably don't say it to those we love as much as we should, but we probably say it fairly often. It's easy to say, I love you. It's much more difficult to wake up at 3 a.m. when the baby is screaming and say to your spouse, don't worry, I'll take care of it. It's easy to say, my family comes first, right? But it's much more difficult to give up the big fishing trip you used to go on every year to stay home and read the same Dr. Seuss book for the thousandth time, or watch Barney, or change dirty diapers. It's easy to say. It's much, much harder to put your spouse first. It's easy to say you love your spouse and your family. It's much harder to put their happiness above yours and sacrifice. But God so loved the world. He loved the world in this way that he gave his only begotten son. He did something hard. What is hard for God? This is the God who created the whole universe in 6 days. This is the God who, simply by speaking it, created all the stars. Remember, we did that last week. The kids learned that this week. All the stars in the sky in a single day. What's hard for him? Well, nothing that requires strength or power. Anything of that matter is easy for him. But to give up his only son, this is a demonstration of his love. This was an act of supreme love and an act of supreme sacrifice, that God gave up his son, that Jesus gave up everything and came willing to suffer and die. And he did truly suffer. There again, that's that what the word so teaches us. This wasn't an act, it wasn't a farce. It's easy to think, well, Jesus is God. You know, he can endure temptation. He can endure suffering. I mean, he's God. But the Bible teaches us, no, he so loved us. He did something hard. He set aside the use of his Godhead, the use of his power, the use of his deity, and he suffered. He endured temptation just as we would. Just as we do, to a greater degree than we do, for our sakes. So the children learned day 3 and 4 about how God, Jesus, gave up heaven, accepted birth and suffering and death. How he so loved us. The miraculousness of his mission is not in the strength or power. In Apollo 11, the miraculous thing was the difficulty. The miraculous thing was the power that took to lift that rocket off the ground. But the miraculousness of Jesus' mission for us is that he not used the power, but laid aside the power. And did it without the power of God. And he did all this so that those who believe in him should not perish. And that's the third word we're going to look at today. Not perish. If God came to save the world, that implies that the world needs saving. If God came to save the world, that implies there is something very wrong with it. If we, through faith in Christ, should not perish, that means that without faith, we are going to perish. Here again, we can make another comparison to marriage. If you have two people who think very highly of themselves, and we see this all the time in celebrity marriages, right? two people who think very highly of themselves, who think, wow, I'm doing this person a favor by marrying them, that marriage is not going to last very long. They're going to demand that the other person live up to their expectations. When the going gets tough, they're going to abandon it. But if instead you come into the marriage thinking, I'm not that great of a person. I can be kind of cranky. I'm not that good looking. And therefore appreciating the fact that this other person is willing to put up with me, this other person is willing to marry me, then you have two spouses who appreciate one another and are willing to let go of the little things, even if they seem big sometimes, because they appreciate what the other person has done and are grateful. So often here also, we don't appreciate what God has done for us because we think higher of ourselves than we really ought. We have a tendency to think that we're really not that bad. We have a tendency to think people really aren't that bad. Oh, sure, maybe the really terrible people like Stalin or Hitler or Mao Zedong or Genghis Khan, that murdered thousands and thousands of people. Yeah, sure, they deserve God's punishment. But that's not what God's word tells us. God's word tells us that even the best people on earth, even people like Martin Luther King or Mahatma Gandhi, the people we would hold up as examples to everyone else, maybe even the lady who started the Red Cross, whose name I should know but can't remember right now, the very best people, God says they also deserve eternal punishment. And that's where they're going without Christ. When we look in the mirror and recognize just how terrible we are, the mirror of God's law showing us how badly we failed in sin, that's when we learn to appreciate just how miraculous and loving what Christ did for us is. You know, it's easy to find a church these days that talks about God's love. Everyone likes to talk about God's love. But find a church that is willing to confront you with your sin, that is willing to tell you fornication is wrong, divorce is wrong, homosexuality is wrong. Not only to say it, not only to preach it, but to shove your face in it if you need to, if that's what you need. There you have a church that is preaching and teaching the true word of God. There you have a church that is going to teach you to appreciate God's love. This is what God's word confronts us with in this text. God so loved the world that he sent his son that you should not perish, but without him you will. This is what makes God's mission so miraculous. That he came to die even for ugly, terrible, sinful people like us. This is Christ's miraculous mission. He is God greater than all, but he so loved us that he gave up the thing most precious to him so that we, even as terrible sinners that we are, do not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.